You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Greeny with Mike Greenberg, the podcast.
All right, Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. It's going to be an interesting day. We have a lot of things obviously going on. Crazy busy juncture here in the world of sports. We're going to go through everything. There was breaking news already here this morning. You heard it from Christine. The combine is over. Milestones reached in the NBA and in women's college basketball. And we also have a lot to say about a dear friend of ours who we lost yesterday, and he was a friend of yours too, even if you never met him in person. So we're going to get to all of that today. So buckle in. We got a lot to do in 2 hours.
Here we go!
Only one place to start.
Right, the place that we'll start will be football. And we've got the you guys would be a good law firm. We always joke that Greenberg and Tannenbaum, I think Graziano and Tannenbaum would be a very good law firm. You got both sides of this covered. You got the insider. You got the experience that Tannenbaum has with all the negotiations. I think you two would make a formidable team.
I feel like we've done about 50 shows in a row together, too. I think at this point, the off season, I think we're the only ones not taking vacation.
Yeah. And what was it, the hexabox? We had the other day?
No, there was a pentabox.
A pentabox.
Oh, but we could combine, increase. Yeah. My goal is to someday get us to an octobox, and we'll see if we're able to. Okay, very quickly on the news that came across this morning, and that is Mike Evans re-upping before free agency begins, 2 more years in Tampa. One of the tentacles of that is we assume it makes it sort of a foregone conclusion that they will bring back Baker Mayfield as well. But the question that Cam put on my document here is, do we talk enough about how good Mike Evans is?
I mean, no. Look, he's an unprecedented, right? Like, no one has ever accomplished what he has accomplished to this point in his career, 1,000 yards every single year. No, I mean, he's a Hall of Fame player. He does his work quietly. He's already won one Super Bowl. And I think that's why you see, right before his age 31 season, a team willing to commit that kind of money to him, because he is special. He means a lot to them. And I think, you know, the compromise probably landed when he was willing to do a 2-year deal as opposed to a longer one. And then maybe they were willing to kick in a little extra money just, you know, because of who he is to them.
You had made the point earlier, Mike T, that there are so many excellent receivers in this draft, and that was what popped at the combine this weekend more than anything. Some of the times these guys were running, that you are of the impression that 7 receivers are going to go in round 1 of this draft. So maybe the market for him wouldn't have been as quote unquote robust as we might have expected.
Yeah, and again, Green, let's give credit to our teammate Mel Kiper, who predicted it before the combine, which is really hard to do. So I think Derek Gilmore, who's a good agent, who represents Mike Evans, probably started to connect the dots in it, and be it Buffalo or Kansas City. I know Graza reported Mike Evans to Kansas City was a possibility. When you start connecting those dots and you see players like A.D. Mitchell, Ladd McConkey, amongst others, Troy Franklin from Oregon, that could be there at the bottom of the first round, and you start, you know, putting together like, well, maybe they don't stretch on the receiver because they could draft it. It made sense really for both sides to get that deal done today.
All right, so that's the news just an hour or so before we come on the air here. The place that we started the show, and Graziano, you said it to me on Friday, and then Shefty was talking about it yesterday. We played some of the soundbite from that on one of our shows, that the teams are not exactly beating down Chicago's door for Justin Fields. Now, part of the explanation for that, it seems to me, might be, and Mike T, you could illuminate, you know, you tell me if I'm getting some of this wrong. Everyone knows they have to trade him. The Bears are in a situation where everyone knows they want to trade him and, in fact, want to do so quickly. So maybe the offers, Dan, reflect that there are teams out there. Let's see if we can fleece them. And sure. And then if we can't, we'll circle back around.
Mike T's done enough deals to know, what are you trying to do? You're trying to get what you want for the lowest price possible, right? Like, that's the negotiation. So, look, we'll see. I think it may be that other things have to shake out. And that means, like, well, what do we think of where we're sitting in the draft? Is there going to be a quarterback that we like enough to take there? Or do we think we really have a shot to get Kirk Cousins or Baker Mayfield if they hit the market? And what's the likelihood of them hitting the market? And then once teams reassess all that, maybe they reevaluate their position on a potential Justin Fields trade. But as of right now, coming back from Indianapolis, it did not feel like it was a front burner top choice item for very many, if any, teams.
You know, Agreedy, you know, last week, you know, we had talked about saying, you know, the over under last Thursday. And I think what happened is if we juxtapose 2023 having the first pick in the draft, Ryan Poles did an unbelievable job and got, look, he got the first pick in, and he got DJ Moore. It's unbelievable what he did. And I think when you're trying to trade like that, you're trying to hold an auction, create a sense of urgency, sure, and then pull the trigger. Agreedy, you had suggested on the show, well, hey, maybe they should just wait and do the right deal, not the quick deal. But the problem with that idea, in my opinion, is you're waiting for somebody to get hurt, like we saw with Minnesota when Sam Bradford got traded. I was in that situation in Miami where we had to beg Jay Cutler out of the broadcast booth because we lost Ryan Tannehill. Point being is, when does that actually happen? You know, and I've been in the building with multiple quarterbacks, and it really puts a weight on your organization. So that to me is like, if I'm the Bears, like, you almost at some point have to cut your losses. Yeah. I hate to say it that way, but is it Seattle? You know, we started speculating these non-obvious teams, New Orleans, Seattle, like, does somebody else step up?
All right, so work with me on this. So you're talking about going all the way to training camp. I'm not. I'm talking about legal tampering, my single favorite expression in sports, begins a week from today.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
The new league year free agency starts next Wednesday.
Yep.
We got Kirk Cousins. Mm-hmm. We got Russell Wilson. We don't think we're going to have Baker Mayfield.
Maybe, but yep,
we don't got a lot of options, right? Mm-hmm. There's not a lot. So someone is not going to get Kirk Cousins. I don't know who that is. Dan, you're telling me that the world thinks it's going to be Atlanta.
31 teams are not going to get Kirk Cousins.
The world seems to think now, like, the world decides things. I feel like the world has decided Atlanta is going after Kirk Cousins hard, right?
I think if he gets to the market, that is the team to watch most closely, yes.
So what I'm saying is, by next Friday, I'm not talking about July, mm-hmm, by next Friday or the following Monday or something like that, there were going to be teams out there who are going to say, okay, the free agent option that we were considering didn't work out for whatever reason, whatever thing it is we don't know about. And I'm looking at, I can either have Michael Penix with this second round pick that I have, or I can trade it for Justin Fields, get 2 years of Fields. Here's what I think. I think Justin Fields is better than I guess everyone else thinks he is, because to me that feels like a steal.
Yeah, no, and it makes sense, Green, but here's what I say. Let's just put ourselves in Minnesota's shoes, and let's say Graz's scenario plays out, which I agree with, that Kirk Cousins goes to Atlanta, because every day Kirk Cousins doesn't re-sign, we get closer to that happening. So now all of a sudden we have to say, like, okay, we're the Vikings. Do we give up a 2 for Justin Fields, or do we give up that same second-round pick and go from 11 to either 5 with the Chargers, or do we give up a 2 and maybe something else to go all the way up to 3, you know, with the Patriots? So to me, that's the conversation. Do we try to go get Drake May at 3, J.J. McCarthy at 5, or do we sit where we are and take Justin Fields?
Who's going to be a better quarterback 10 years from now, J.J. McCarthy or Justin Fields?
I would say J.J. McCarthy. I've seen them both a ton. I just believe in J.J. McCarthy. There's no holes in his game. He has rare maturity. You hear Patrick, and I'm not comparing him to Patrick Mahomes, but you heard Patrick Mahomes talk about one of the things that took him a while to become great was he had to learn from Tom Brady that sometimes a check down is a great play. Jim Harbaugh has drilled that into J.J. McCarthy. He does not lose the game, and he has the ability to go win it. That's why J.J. McCarthy is so intriguing to me.
I mean, that's interesting to me. If you had told me 2 weeks ago that that's where people would be netting out, I would have been surprised. Again, I'm not a scout. I don't evaluate these things. And is my heart maybe somewhat involved in this because I just like Justin Fields?
Sure.
I have ever since. I've told this story before, and it's not my story to tell, but when the Big Ten canceled its season at the beginning of COVID, at a time when Justin Fields was a lock to be the second pick in the draft, right? It would have been Trevor Lawrence and then Justin Fields. Justin Fields had nothing to gain and everything to lose by playing out that, by the Big Ten playing that season. He led a player movement mm-hmm. with great maturity and courage and intelligence and everything, and was like, no, we want to play. And he didn't tweet it. He didn't do what a lot of young people in his position might do. He actually organized a movement And I'm not saying that's the only reason they played, but they played.
Yeah.
And I loved him in college. I guess I just think he's better than the NFL has decided he is.
Yeah, and look, again, we say it a lot. It only takes one team, but he's still, well, you say he turns 25 tomorrow, right? So still a young player with aspects of his game that need developing, and he's arriving at a point where you have to make a big financial decision on him. So it's not as cut and dried as, do you like him better than J.J. McCarthy? Do you like him better than J.J. McCarthy, and then factor in the price, what it's going to take to trade for him, plus what you're going to end up having to pay him, plus having to devote the time you and your coaching staff are going to need to devote to make sure to iron out the parts of his game that still need ironing out. If he was a ready-made guy that was established as a franchise quarterback, we wouldn't be having this conversation because the Bears would be trading the pick.
Are you guys telling me we live in a world where Justin Fields is going to get traded for a third-round pick?
I think every day that goes by, the chances increase.
Yeah, and again, Ryan Poles, you know, has been creative with trades. Maybe there's a situation where somebody's unloading a player or a bad contract that the Bears can afford and they can't. Maybe that's what gets it done as well.
All right, Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Looking for a career path with flexibility, great pay, and benefits? Go to progressive.com/careers and apply online today. You know, sometimes mine is that genius that sometimes scares even myself. So I said 2 weeks ago, the Giants need to trade up to get a quarterback. And as it turns out, I said otherwise, they may wind up having to take J.J. McCarthy at 6. What you just told me this morning is that I was actually ahead of my time. They may have to trade up just to get him.
Absolutely. I'm a big believer in J.J. McCarthy. I've seen him play in practice, in games. There's really no holes in his game. And, Graz, I think you made the point to me. Like, he's been coached by a guy in Jim Harbaugh that every quarterback he's coached, going back to Rich Gannon, when he was a quality control coach at the Raiders, has made better from Luck, Kaepernick, Alex Smith, and now J.J. McCarthy. So when you look at his athleticism, the plays, he's rushed for almost 1,000 yards. Like, he's only lost one game. Now, look, they had 18 guys at the combine, but one of the things I liked about the workout was, despite not working with his receivers, there was great accuracy, there was great anticipation, much the way C.J. Stroud helped himself. I'm not saying he's going to be C.J. Stroud, but the juxtaposition last year, I remember it like yesterday, Greeny. Bryce Young is standing there watching C.J. Stroud just tear it up. If that draft was in June, Stroud probably would have gone one. And I'm thinking, if I'm those three guys, I'm watching J.J. McCarthy and Michael Penix have these workouts, like, you know, they hurt themselves by not doing what those guys did.
But forgetting
did.
All of that, what did you tell me you think is going to happen with McCarthy?
He's going to go 5. He is absolutely going to go 5, and here's why. The Chargers have a number of holes, tight end, receiver, offensive line, loaded at those positions. They will be well-served to move back and get extra draft capital. Someone's going to, because like what you said, Greeny, someone's going to say, hey, J.J. McCarthy to the Giants at 6 makes a ton of sense. We got to go get him. And if I'm the Giants, I may give up a second-round pick or a third-round pick just to flip picks, just to block that from happening.
That feels interesting. 4 is Arizona. Mm-hmm. 5, well, let's even go earlier than that. We think the Bears are going to take a quarterback. Yes. We think the Commanders are going to take a quarterback,
yes,
right? It would be a huge upset if either of those teams did not.
I think so, yes.
So then New England at 3.
Yep.
Arizona at 4. Mm-hmm. And the Chargers at 5. Mm-hmm. All feel like, so we're not quite certain.
Well, New England could use a quarterback, obviously, so they could sit tight and take a quarterback at 3. I don't think that would really surprise anybody, but
right,
they've talked
but
about all their
like
options.
But it doesn't feel like a
certainty. No, but I think
think they're going to.
I think that's the way it's leaning, but
okay,
but I don't have a handle on it just yet. 4 and 5, Arizona and the Chargers don't need quarterbacks. And so, you know, if there's that kind of demand for J.J. McCarthy and the other three guys are gone, then sure, it makes a lot of sense. Why wouldn't you put those picks up for sale? We saw Arizona play around, move back last year, and it's working out well for them. So maybe. But you know, again, we're just in this post combine evaluation period. Teams went in there wanting to like J.J. McCarthy. Seems like he gave them reasons to like him while he was there. So maybe that affects the way things happen. Over the next week or so, it'll sort out. What happens in free agency will have an impact on all of this. Who needs to move up? Who doesn't? Etc.
Yeah, I like, to me, if you need a quarterback, Greeny, and you know that the Giants are likely to take one, and you're Minnesota and you just lost Kirk Cousins, like, you got to pay the bill. I don't know what the alternative. You're going to sit there and wind up with Bo Nix. I think there's a big gap. obviously between 3 and 4 in terms of the quarterbacks. But after J.J. McCarthy, I think there's a big gap between him and Michael Penix and Bo Nix.
How about the Giants trading for Justin Fields?
I like it. And the reason I like it is because Daniel Jones is hurt. He's going to have a rehab offseason. If you trade for Justin Fields and you're the Giants, he's going to take all of your offseason reps and maybe play for you in the preseason while Daniel Jones gets healthy. Who knows if Daniel Jones can be healthy enough to start the season? You may have an option there that you like. They play in an offense that leans a little bit on a mobile quarterback already, so some of the aspects of his game might translate. And if he were to hypothetically, you know, perform well in the preseason and then you feel good about Daniel Jones coming back, somebody else's quarterback gets hurt, you might be able to flip Justin Fields. So I like it for the Giants for a number of reasons. I have no idea if the Giants do.
It's going to be fascinating to watch how this thing plays out. I stake my reputation as a draft analyst, of which I have none, that Fields is better than most of the guys we're talking about in this class. All right, Graziano Tannenbaum, you're the best. Thank you. We will take a short break. We'll come back with a tribute to a legend and a friend, and that is next on ESPN Radio. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Greeny, the podcast.
Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio in 30 seconds, as we are presented by Progressive Insurance. In 30 seconds, I have a lot to say, as I'm sure a lot of others do, about our friend who we lost yesterday. We'll do that in 30 seconds after this reminder that ESPN Bet is now live as the official sports book of ESPN. ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Again, I'm Greeny. The hashtag crew is all here. And it is a difficult day at ESPN. This is a tough one for all of us. The last time I can remember feeling this way was when Stewart died, which is a long time ago now. And you know why? Because our buddy Mort died yesterday. I'll tell you how I heard the news. We were having a conversation, some of the GetUp staff and I, about a whole bunch of other things that we were planning for today's television show, and all of a sudden, one of the members of our team had heard it, probably about a half an hour before ESPN announced it and just sent a message into the group saying that Mort died this morning. This was yesterday. And it's hard to explain how hard news like that can hit you when you don't know what's coming. It was obvious to anyone who has seen him over the last few years. Mort has, he's been through hell. Like, people use that expression. Mort survived the worst of it. You could not have gone through worse than he did with cancer and come out the other side. So the idea that his health was in a precarious place was not surprising. But I don't think anyone expected this. I do believe this came from, it came as a bit of a surprise. It certainly is not something I had been expecting to happen this kind of soon. And so it hits you very hard. And I just spent a lot of the day yesterday just reflecting on a million memories. Chris Mortensen was an iconic ESPN personality far longer than I've worked here. And I've worked here for 28 years. But the way football is covered today, we'll start by talking about his impact professionally, which is the least important part of this. But his impact professionally is such that the way pro football is covered in our country today was absolutely not just influenced. I mean, the blueprint for it was written by the people who created the Sunday morning shows and built them around Chris Berman and Chris Mortensen. The idea that there would be that kind of information, like, I'm old enough to remember a time before that, and the Sunday morning shows, the NFL Todays of the world and all that kind of stuff, it was a very, very different kind of presentation. And Mort coming along and covering the league the way traditionally newspapers and maybe Sports Illustrated and only a few other places did, that didn't exist before him. So he didn't break down a door. He built one. There was no door. And then Chris Mortensen came along, and now it is a thriving industry that he leaves behind. So he remains not only the godfather of all of it, but he remained the conscience of all of it. Because through all of the incredible competitiveness that business engenders, and it is inherently a competitive line of work, all of these reporters are battling with each other to some degree to get scoops and stories, and the speed with which that gets done now has changed so much in social media. But the part of it that Chris Mortensen never forgot was that these are human beings we are talking about. We are reporting on people. We don't report on sports. We report on people. Those people play sports. And Mort maintained that. He maintained a real conscience in his coverage of sports, and I think he reminded people, not nastily. That was a message that he sent to people very politely. I can tell you that he corrected me on things over the years so many times. And you know what it's like, Hembo, if you say something on the air and you are mistaken about it, or you don't have the context right, you might get a nasty note from someone who knows, hey, Greeny, you don't know what you're talking about. Mort was always, Greeny, you should know, blah, 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 blah. It came from a place of wanting to help. And when I tell you that starting in maybe 2003 or 4 and up to this season, I would say I would get those notes from Mort a minimum of once a month, probably more than that. So he was a very, very giving and generous colleague. So we'll start there. So I'll pause because I want to talk about the person, Mort, that I knew far more than I want to talk about the impact he had on the industry. But you can't ignore the impact he had on the industry, because it's the reason that most people are sad today, because they watched him on TV for 30 whatever it was years. And he left behind a legacy that will have an enormous impact on the way the business is conducted for the foreseeable future. So I'll let you guys share a few thoughts before I talk a little more about Mort as a person.
Sure. So you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong here, as one who's done this a lot longer than I have, but the Adam Schefters and Adrian Wojnarowskis and Jeff Passans of the world have not always existed. And I think in some sense, I was reminded yesterday that, that Mort effectively birthed a profession of news chasers, of news breakers. And you described it well in saying that is, those are treacherous waters. Like when you do that for a living, you swim with sharks. And somehow, some way, Chris Mortensen managed to swim in those waters almost unencumbered, leaving them with a reputation beyond reproach, which when you do that for a living is nearly impossible.
Yeah.
It not only speaks to the excellent work that he did, but it much more so speaks to the human being that he was, that he maintained his character and lived above the fray in a profession for which doing that and doing it well is next to impossible.
Yeah. Bubba, obviously, you being with us through most or at least many of the Mike and Mike years, I'm trying to remember what year Mort started coming on with us weekly. It may have been right at the beginning. I want to say Chris Mortensen may have appeared on Mike and Mike in the Morning as many times as any other person. I'm not sure anyone would have been on with us more than he was, because he predated us. He was at ESPN before there was a Mike and Mike, and he was coming on with us certainly to the end of our show and all the shows well beyond when Mike and I stopped doing our show at the end of 2017. Now, Bubba, you would have dealt with him in a lot of different ways than I did. Like, what are your recollections of all that?
Yeah, I mean, it starts, like you mentioned, just before even when I worked here, I'd be watching at home, you know, essentially before cell phones, you know, kind of the beginning of the internet, and I'm just watching TV, and you'd be getting your news from Mort because he was the number one person. The Mort Report was unbelievable. When I was a kid, you know, every Sunday you'd check in and that's where you'd be getting your NFL news. And he was just a trailblazer for that. And then, yeah, then to work with him on Mike and Mike, and we'd call, but one of the great things about Mort would be, it didn't matter if it was Mike and Mike or the overnight, he was the same generous person, whether you were calling him to get on the biggest show in the morning or any show. He'd be happy to come on your show no matter what it was. And he was always listening to ESPN Radio. Like you said, he could call in with things if you got something wrong or he had advice. He'd call the hotline all the time. All of a sudden, we'd see the number, the Atlanta number calling. We'd say, oh, this is Mort calling. And he didn't want to come on, and he never wanted to come on the air. He just wanted to let us know, hey, just a heads up, this is what, like you said, this is what it actually is. These are the information. This is what it was. And, yeah, he was just a great guy to deal with. And I was just so caught off guard yesterday. I was actually at a store, and I got my phone went off. And first it was like the Celtics score, and then I saw the other thing. I was just sitting in an aisle for like 10 minutes going through Twitter to the point where they came over and they said, hey, the store's about to close. You have to leave. Because I just couldn't believe it. And, yeah, I mean, he's just such a legend.
Yeah, he was a legend, and when you knew him the way we did, it just changes the dynamic of it. I mean, Cam, I don't know that you would have crossed paths with Mort being as young and relatively new, but I assume, I mean, you grew up watching Chris Mortensen on television just like your entire generation did.
I was born into a world where he was already established, so yeah. I don't even remember a world where guys like him and his profession didn't exist. So he blazed a trail that I had already seen by the time I started watching sports, and by that point he was, you know, doing it for 15 years. I only have a couple interactions with him as a producer starting here. As everyone always says, I know you're going to talk about what a phenomenal person he was. Super gracious, too. The lowest of the low and the highest of the high. I produced Daria Mel a couple years ago. He called in on, like, the 28th year anniversary of the Bill Tobin, who the hell is Mel Kiper anyway interview. We had a great interview and segment with him. Just last year, like Bubba was saying, over the summer when Canty and Carlin were filling in for you, he called in to correct them just on some figures on Lamar Jackson's contract that he and Schefter were reporting on. We were scheduled to have him on last year at the draft, his last draft, obviously. He wasn't able to come on, sent me the most gracious note. He doesn't have to do that. He's Chris Mortensen. Please apologize to everyone for me. I got caught up talking to, you know, a high-level executive. Like, right there, that just shows his professionalism and his decency as a person at the same time. And I didn't know him at all. I just had, a few text interactions with him as a producer, a very young producer, and he treated me with the same grace and respect as he treated everybody else. So he's a phenomenal person, and you hope that he knew everything that people are saying about him. That's how they felt about him.
So I'm really glad we shared those recollections. So Chris Mortensen was a legend as an NFL news and information person. He was a trailblazer in a field that I think we've made the point well here, pretty much didn't exist before he came along. And he did his job with humility, grace, decency, and extraordinary expertise. But that's not why I'm sad. I'm really, really lucky as one of the people who got to know Mort really well. And I'm sure Mike is saying all of the same things. Mike Golic is saying all the same things today. You know, when we were just starting out and we were nobody, people remember Mike and Mike because of what we ultimately became. We started out as nobody. Mort was the best. And he would come in and he would sit there and he would talk to us about life all the time. Mort did not talk much about sports when you were not talking about sports. So that was how my relationship with him began, and it developed over the years. And then I will tell you, there is a song, I don't really know it well, but I'm aware of it, that is sung by Tim McGraw, the country singer, whose father was Tug McGraw, and it is called Live Like You Were Dying. Do I have that right? Do you guys, is that the actual title of it? I know the chorus of it is, I hope someday you get the chance to live like you were dying.
Yes, that is the name of the song.
So Mort faced his mortality 7 or 8 years ago, whatever year it was when he was diagnosed. Mort was diagnosed with something you're supposed to die from, and fought like hell and managed to beat it and managed to live all these additional years and see however many things and have however many experiences he otherwise would not have had. And I saw firsthand how that influences a person, how that changed his perspective. His view on the world, I feel very comfortable saying this, that his view of the world, of the business, of what everything means was completely reshaped by having gone through the experience of being told you're going to die soon and living through that with his beloved wife and with his son and all the other people who love him. When you come out the other side of something like that, I think you do come out with a different perspective, and he did. And his perspective was wonderful and fascinating to be around. He didn't take all the things that make us crazy on a day-to-day basis nearly as seriously after that. And it was a great lesson. It's one I'd love to think that you learn from being around people like him, but when you're wired the way some of us are wired, you see it and you admire it, but you're not really able to emulate it. But the last time I saw Mort, as it turned out, in person, was at the Super Bowl last year. We were in Phoenix, and I wasn't even there covering the Super Bowl. They sent me there because Stephen A. and Michael Wilbon both had to be there for their shows, and so I went out there to do NBA. We actually did NBA countdown from Phoenix. And on the Saturday morning, so the day before the Super Bowl, I went down to the hotel to have, you know, breakfast in the restaurant. And Mort, it just happens to be standing there waiting for a table at the same time as me. So we hadn't planned it, but we just sat together. And I didn't have much to do, and he didn't have much to do because he was barely working anymore, and I wasn't even covering the Super Bowl. So we wound up sitting there for about 2.5 hours. And he was telling me at great length about what he was doing in his life. He and his wife had moved to Arkansas. He was incredibly happy there. He was tapering off. He didn't tell me that he was going to retire so soon thereafter, which he did, but that he was tapering off his work and that he was so proud of everything that he had done, but he had so many things he was looking forward to and things in his life that were so much more important than the time that he was devoting to anything that involved work. He was a deeply spiritual person of faith, which, Hembo, I know resonates with you and I'm sure with many other people listening to us. Mort definitely believed he was headed to a better place, a place of glory, and I hope with every ounce of my being that he is there now, because that's what he believed in, and I think it sustained him. I think it gave him great, beyond strength, I think it gave him legitimate power. Like, he lived his life understanding that it was about something that was bigger than anything else that was happening. I hope I'm making sense here. What I'm trying to say is, to know him was to be, to at least some degree, changed by knowing him. Like, he was a person of extraordinary perspective. In a world where perspective is in short supply, perspective is a gift many of us could use every single day. He had it, and he shared it in a non-preachy way. He didn't get in your face with his perspective. He just demonstrated it, and you couldn't help but feel a little differently by having been around him. So anyway, I genuinely loved him. I loved Mort, and he's one of my favorite people I ever came to know here. I'm incredibly grateful that I got to know him as I did. And I mean, as we all do, we send all our love to his wife, Mickey, and to his son, Alex, and to all the others who loved him. And I know they appreciate hearing from all of the fans out there, all the football fans who were informed and entertained and moved by him over the years. So, and I say this decidedly, God bless you, Mort. Thank you for everything. I will pause on that thought. We'll just take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll do all the rest of the things that we had planned. Thank you for indulging us those thoughts on our friend. We'll be right back on ESPN Radio.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Greeny, the podcast.
This is the song I was talking about. Cam, thank you for finding it. Greeny with you here on ESPN Radio. That's a song by Tim McGraw. It's not a song I know well, but I've always liked its message. It was written about someone. I know Tim McGraw is a monster star in the world of country music. To me, he will forever be Tug McGraw's son. And that's who the song is about, because his father was dying of cancer. And anyway, that's what we were talking about when we were talking about our friend Mort, whose perspective I think was so impacted by his long battle with cancer. Anyway, we just spent about 20 minutes talking about him. We thank you for being a part of that conversation. We'll do our show today, despite, you know, the rest of it here, as we normally would, including Hembo's got trivia for us in 30 seconds after this word from ESPN Bet, which is now live as the official sports book of ESPN. ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today. New users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Find all your favorite markets and bets like in-game wagering, cross-sport parlays, teasers, and all the props you can handle. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Wow. Okay. And how are your trivia skills?
This is Sneaky Hembo Trivia.
Regular sneaky or extra sneaky?
All right, a little group trivia, Hembo, go.
Yes, there are four schools that have produced at least five Heisman Trophy winners. For group trivia today, you are going to give me all four schools to produce at least five winners of the Heisman Trophy.
Okay, that is a good question, and we're going to do it live. Usually we do those going into a break, but we didn't want to, you know, sort of do that there as we were paying tribute to Mort. So we do it separately here. You guys want to go through it real quick here with us? I mean, I think there's one. There are two that I think jump to my head as being immediately obvious. There's no question Notre Dame is one of them, and there's no question USC is one of them.
Yep.
Am I right about that? I mean,
I think Alabama.
Does Reggie Bush count?
I was going to say Alabama, yeah.
Does Reggie Bush count?
For the purposes of my question, he does count.
Okay, because, I mean, technically Reggie Bush
doesn't count to Manziel.
And Johnny Manziel is very upset about it. We're gonna get into that a little later, too. But so you feel good about Bama?
I really do.
So when Bryce Young won it a few years ago, he's the only quarterback ever to win it.
Yeah.
Namath didn't win it. Stabler didn't win it. None of the other quarterbacks won it. They would have had a couple of running backs, though, right? Mark Ingram won it. Derrick Henry.
And Devontae Smith.
Devontae Smith. Okay, it has to be Alabama.
But is
okay.
That, how many is that, though? Is that only?
That's four right now.
And that's four in the last 10 years.
I've got to imagine there's another.
There's got to be one.
They might only be at four, though.
Oh, that would be crazy.
But over the previous 70 years of the award, you'd think they would have won one of them. I feel good about – do you have someone – do you have two other schools you have in mind? It's four schools. So
I was thinking Oklahoma potentially.
You see, I mean, it used to be a running back award. The Heisman was a running back much of the time. So Oklahoma and Nebraska had a ton of those kind of guys.
How about Ohio State?
Ohio State has – does Archie Griffin count as one or two?
He counts as two.
Ooh, that could help.
That's not bad. So, okay. But I don't feel like they've had a lot of. So they have not had the great quarterbacks.
Yeah.
Who else would have won a Eddie George won a Heisman, I think, for Ohio State. So that would be three. Boy, this is good.
Do we want to start with the two that you're very certain with?
I think USC's got to be right.
And Notre Dame also. Yeah. There's no way in the world Notre Dame isn't.
Should we lock those in and let's lock them in?
Is there any way Notre Dame didn't? There's no way Notre Dame.
I'm more confident in USC, but I think both are on there.
If either of those are wrong, we have no choice anyway. So all right, we're going to go USC.
That's correct.
Okay.
USC has the most with eight.
Okay, fair enough. We're going to go with Notre Dame.
That's correct.
Okay, good. All right.
Notre Dame has seven.
Yeah, I thought so. So now we're at Alabama and then a blank space where we have a lot of people we like. Ohio State, again, has that huge advantage of having one guy win it twice. Are we forgetting anybody obvious? Did Ohio State have any Heisman Trophy winners when Urban was there? I don't think so.
I'm trying to remember.
Elliott didn't win it.
This award dates to 1935,
right?
For those wondering.
Jay Berwanger, if I'm not mistaken, was the first one. Florida. See, there's all. I mean, so going all the way back.
What other Tebow ones is there?
There could be, guys. There could be something that we're just wouldn't even think of.
Oh yeah, I mean,
I don't think it's going to be Army or Navy. I don't think it's going to be. Staubach won the Heisman at Navy, and I think there were one or two others. I don't think it's going to be either of them.
Did Troy Smith win a Heisman for Ohio State?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
I think Ohio State's got to be in there.
You did. You're right.
Troy Smith, Eddie George. Who else you got?
And two Archies.
Two Archies.
So I'm thinking there's got to be one
more
somewhere.
Just need one more. It's not bad.
We're at four for Bama, too. But I feel like over the rest of the 70 years we're thinking of, both of those should be right.
Perhaps. But, I mean, between Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Oklahoma, like, they had a period there where they won, like, every game for 5 years with Bud Wilkinson as their coach. But I don't know who the star players were. Like, that's... The award goes back so far that there are people, there are schools that probably you would never even consider now. Like we're talking about Florida State and Florida, but that's not where the country was. It was in the middle of the country. Go ahead, don't raise your hand. Say a name. What about Syracuse? Now Jim Brown didn't win it. He didn't win the Heisman. No, they didn't vote for him.
I don't think there
were a lot of voters that wouldn't vote for him, and this is how different the world was, who literally said they weren't voting for him because he was black. That was a very different world.
And that was 20 years after the inception of the award.
That's right.
Not Michigan?
No, I didn't say not Michigan. I don't know that it's not Michigan. Desmond Howard won it.
Charles Woodson.
Charles Woodson won it.
I can't think of too many more, but I would say Bama, Oklahoma, Ohio State, but, you know.
Well, we didn't say Bama?
No, we only have two.
No, so far, we have three.
So far, you've only locked in USC and Notre Dame.
Okay. Then we definitely need to get this thing moving. I think we have to go with Alabama, guys,
yes.
Right? We're going with Alabama.
That's wrong.
Oh!
Guys, in 2009, Mark Ingram was their first ever
Are you kidding me?
Heisman Trophy winner, says the youngest person on our panel, Cam, who just assumed. Bama has only four.
Yeah, Heisman so did everyone winners. Else.
That's not a terrible... All right. Well, I mean, we already didn't get it, but the other you heard the schools we were thinking of. We were thinking of Ohio State.
That's right.
Okay. Yeah. It's Archie Griffin twice, Eddie George, Troy Smith.
And then a bunch of old guys.
Okay.
That's what I was banking on for Alabama.
Vic Janowitz.
Oh, how did I think of him?
If Horvath had only chosen Bama, we would have been in much better shape.
I'm guessing Horvath never even crossed the Mason.
We still have two more, though.
One more.
One more. Four schools, five Heismans. Is it Oklahoma?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys are all over this thing.
Every time.
All over this thing.
God.
Who are the Oklahoma ones?
Let me pull up that list. By the way, every single...
He went to Oklahoma State.
Every one of those schools had at least seven, by the way. So there's a gap between everyone that has four or fewer, and then each of those four schools has seven or more.
Or one
that
off.
Was an unsatisfying...
Jason White, Sam Bradford, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, Billy Sims, etc.
Oh, that's right. Billy Sims.
I'm disappointed in you.
I'm disappointed in us, too. I'm particularly disappointed in Cam.
This feels to always fall on me.
I'm just going to choose to blame you for this.
This happens a lot.
The Greeny presented by Progressive Insurance. Bundle home and auto and save. Visit progressive.com. Two numbers I never thought we'd see from the weekend. Next.
Thanks for listening to Greeny the podcast. You can listen live each weekday morning at 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio. Or watch the show through the Watch tab on the ESPN app. Also catch Greeny on Get Up, weekday mornings at 8 on ESPN. And also available wherever you get your podcast.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.